I feel that my work was betrayed.
Who have all the fury which Didier Drogba is directing at the referee now.
There obviously seem to be a palpable discord between manager and players.
Hello and welcome back to Palpable Discord, the Chelsea podcast. It's a special episode today. We're joined by Jay from Blades Analytics. It's a pleasure to have you with us, Jay. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks. Good, thanks, guys. Hope you're well. Hope everyone who's listening is well.
Yeah, good stuff. We were really keen to speak to you, obviously, with your background in analytics, bringing a bit of insight into the game, and also with Chelsea's game against Sheffield United this weekend. We thought you'd be the perfect guest to sort of discuss the game and bounce some ideas off with Grant. I know you've got some strong opinions on a few issues around the game, Chelsea included. So, yeah, just to kick things off, for anybody who hasn't heard of you, what's your background and what sort of stuff is what were you specialised in? Just a brief introduction to the audience.
Specialised is an interesting term. So I basically started a Twitter account a couple of years ago that was called Blades Analytics, which is obviously quite self-explanatory. It was a kind of statistical analysis of Sheffield United. They are the club that I support for my sins. And then it kind of grew and grew to me doing a lot more analysis of other teams within the English Football League pyramid than abroad. And then that ended up in a role as a recruitment analyst for Peterborough United Football Club. And now I am a partner in Market Insights, which is a recruitment consultancy for football clubs. And also we look at analysis, performance analysis, opposition analysis, that type of thing. So that there's six of us that are partners in that organisation. And we work with six professional clubs at the minute at various levels, the highest being the Europa League, and all throughout the English Football League pyramid, as an add-on to their analysis departments, both recruitment and performance.
Yeah, that's really interesting. You mentioned obviously you're growing up with support in Sheffield United. Last season obviously absolutely phenomenal, beyond possibly your dreams, although I know the from friends who follow the Championship, it wasn't too much of a surprise. How have you seen the transition through to this season off the back of an absolutely phenomenal season?
It's been absolutely woeful. It has been as bad as it could be. Various reasons. The transfer window was, we will probably touch on in a minute, it was actually okay. But we have injuries throughout the squad to some key players. So for those who don't know, I'm sure many do, Sheffield United have a quite bespoke system involving, I refrain from using this because I think it gets used too much, but overlapping centre-backs is the term that people like to use. I think it's a little bit more nuanced than just that. But and our left centre-back, Jack O'Connell, who is pretty much our best defender as well. He's fantastic on the ball. He's an absolute rock off it. Jack got an injury early in the season that's going to keep him out for the majority of the season. We also don't have Lys Mousset up front, who didn't play a lot of minutes last year, but if you look at the stats and you look at things by per game or per 90, Lys was one of the better strikers in the league in terms of being able to create, you know, get on the end of good chances and finish them. And John Fleck, who's pretty much our most creative midfielder, has also been injured for some time now as well. So we're pretty much without some key players. We also had Dean Henderson on loan for 2 years, one in the Championship, one in the Premier League, and he went. So we signed the new goalkeeper this year. I'm sure you guys who are Chelsea fans know about goalkeeper issues. So, you know, Aaron Ramsdale, who's come from Bournemouth, he was at the club. He was at the academy before Bournemouth bought him from us originally when we were very much down in League One. And he's done actually very well. He's done nothing wrong, nothing that Henderson would have done better on in my eyes. But it's still a transitional factor. There's a lot of new elements to the team as well. So adding to that, that our goal-scoring midfielder, John Lundstrom, is out of contract at the end of the season and appears as though he doesn't want to re-sign. So he's now out of the team. We are pretty much down to the bare bones and it's not been a good start.
Yeah, quite right. I mean, this weekend, with all bad runs, there has to be an end. And perhaps this weekend gives an opportunity to sort of tap into some good memories that are not too distant. I mean, the victory in July was I mean, it was comprehensive, and it was a bit of a weird game, wasn't it? I mean, in terms of just the total dominance with the ball, despite it being pretty sterile from Chelsea. I mean, just to rattle off a few game stats, we obviously had Chelsea with 76% possession. They made 809 passes compared to Sheffield United's 251. But anybody who watched that game would know that 3-0 was not an unfair reflection on the way that both teams played, and the emphatic nature of how McGoldrick and McBurnie sort of dispatched your chances that day. And what were your memories from that game, and what do you think Sheffield United did well, and what do you think Chelsea did bad that day that allowed Wilder and his team to expose them?
Sheffield United are excellent, blocking the middle, showing wide, overloading the ball carrier. The strikers and the shuttlers are key in their wide defensive work, and Chelsea have had no clue. And also too slow to switch play and no threat between the lines. Just remembering that game, Jay, obviously in the first half, Chelsea playing 4-3-3 and really having almost no chances that I can remember. I think it was Osborne playing on the left of the midfield three that day. Just was excellent for you guys, shuttling across and just stopping Azpilicueta. Sorry, I think it was James actually at right back from having any real threat. At halftime, Lampard decided to actually match up. You brought in Rüdiger and we went to three at the back and we had a bit more defensive control. Obviously, Christensen had a tough game and came off. But it's just really no clue of how to break Sheffield United down that day. I think I actually put like a, you know, slightly tongue-in-cheek, jokey tweet that Chelsea's expected goals were naught, because I literally expected naught goals at any point. That game was, you know, coming off the restart, you'd obviously beaten Spurs and Chelsea, but had some tough results. Is that really the best if Sheffield United, you know, with the front two playing physically and being so solid despite all the possession we had?
Yeah, I think that's interesting, because I didn't think, after that game, I didn't actually think that was anywhere near our best performance or maximum performance level. It was just, it was a day where everything went right for us. They happen, and as we've seen this year, when they happen in the Premier League, sometimes surprise results can happen, especially if the opposition of the higher level are off their game. But we were exceptionally clinical. I think game state is something that's just not recognised enough when we're reviewing games. And if you score the first goal in the Premier League, the odds are you go on to take 2.2 points per game on average. And I think that's, you know, no matter who it is. So I think that should be recognised that often the teams who score first will go on and win the game, definitely not lose it. And I think that day that the first couple of chances we created, we scored from. We didn't even create that many chances overall. It was just that we took the chances that we did. And clearly we latched onto a bit of a weakness in terms of Christiansen's defending from a physicality perspective. McBurnie went and stood on him whenever he could. And it allowed us to get a platform in the game to build. And I don't think that Reece James dealt with the left-hand side very well of us in the first half either. When we are at our best, our left-hand side is very quick in terms of the tempo it plays at and the interplay. There's a lot of positional rotation. And I think that day that Reece got a little bit caught out and a little bit exposed as well from those in front, in terms of getting caught in 2v1s at times. I think you saw that for the McBurnie goal where Stevens crossed the ball in. And I just think that was definitely an example of what Sheffield United can be at their best. We haven't unfortunately hit those heights this season.
Yeah, Jay, I've seen you talk a bit about on Twitter about your biggest issue sort of being creating good chances, good quality chances. Obviously, you've mentioned you guys use, you know, wide overloads and try to get the ball into the final third that way. Chelsea have obviously defending extremely well, 5 clean sheets in a row now. Do you think you have sort of a guard to break Chelsea down the way we're playing at the moment and the way you've been struggling to score goals? I mean, I just wanted you to sort of maybe elaborate on that, what you've mentioned, that yeah, maybe that sort of a creative central player has been something you've been possibly lacking.
Yeah, so we are really are struggling. As I mentioned before, the injuries are big for us. It's robbed us of a natural balance to the side. Our system with the inverted commas overlapping centre-backs is predicated on both of them going at the same time. So both the left centre-back and the right centre-back will charge forwards. And at the minute, we're not able to do that because the person we have filling the left centre-back role is a more defensive-minded player called Jack Robinson, although he's missed out the last few games because we're trying to create that balance again. And Jack's game is a little bit more just basic. Basically, he'll go direct or pass backwards or sideways. He won't motor forward like our normal left centre-back would. And that's forced us to play basically very right-hand heavy. If you look at our kind of touch maps, our position maps, our cross maps, everything is coming from the right-hand side. We put in the most crosses in the Premier League from the right-hand side this season, and our delivery from the right-hand side has been poor. Generally has been lofted, high crosses into the box. Those are the ones that statistically create the least opportunities and the least good opportunities. We haven't been putting in a lot of low crosses or cutbacks, which are the highest percentage options to assist shots, if you will. And it's been quite basic, our play. We've not really had anything central. Our best way of creating a chance is often where Sander Berg will take the ball from right central midfield and will drive forwards down the right, as he did in the Chelsea game previously. And he will look to get to the byline and put a cut back in. And that was the best chance we created in our last fixture against Manchester City. Unfortunately, we missed it, but it was one of the best chances of the game. And that's been our best method. We are struggling heavily to create chances. And I think that Chelsea's kind of newfound solidity and steel at the back. Obviously, a lot of that is the goalkeeper. He's been fantastic. But also Thiago Silva's experience. I think Thiago Silva is that type of defender where if he's on the game that day, physicality and direct play won't bother him at all. And we are quite direct. So I am slightly worried about how we're going to create chances and get in a final third ball to create something good.
Yeah, that's really, it's interesting. You mentioned Thiago. Obviously, he's come into some really good form. And now his workload's been managed quite smartly, I think, by Chelsea. Lampard, too, obviously, is he's come under some criticism. And then others have sort of gone the other way and made allowances maybe for Lampard that other managers perhaps wouldn't have. The new players this summer, I mean, it was almost an unprecedented period of recruitment. And now you're starting to see, especially with Ziyech coming in, that they are having an impact. And he's starting to sort of elevate the ceiling of this team, as you will. Where do you stand on Lampard's job so far? Obviously, you'd be familiar with his work, obviously, at Derby too. How do you see his progress as a manager, and how would you rate it?
I think it's such an interesting case study, Frank Lampard. So for those who don't know, I've kind of analysed the EFL, if you will, Championship, League One, League Two for a number of years now. So I was heavily kind of interested in Lampard's time at Derby. It's when Sheffield United were also in the Championship as well in our promotion season. So I was really interested because I always felt like you could see with Derby there was patterns of play and there was periods in the season where they looked really strong. But whether it be a personnel issue or whether it be an overall kind of experience issue, because there was a lot of young players in that team, they never seemed to dominate enough games. The balance was never quite there. It was either that there was good attacking play, but defensive errors or a really solid structure, but they couldn't quite create. You know, it would always come down to a long shot or some moment of magic. And then when you look at his time at Chelsea, I think last year, you know, all these kind of comments from, I hate to say it, but some lazy pundits, you know, defensive weaknesses and things in Lampard's kind of makeup as a manager. Well, for those of us who see the statistics, what we saw was Chelsea were actually a pretty strong defensive team. There was an issue. A very clear issue that has now been addressed in terms of a goalkeeper. And obviously, there's always improvements you can make within that. Yes, you may have been the third or second best team, depending on what expected goals model you use for XG against, but it didn't really matter. The point being is the defensive issues, there was a solid structure there, and sometimes individual errors can break down a structure. You always felt last year that I thought the job he did was good, very good. And I think the job he did bringing the youth players through, and then this summer exploded. You get to a point where you've now got international superstars and the expectation levels have rose. And I think in a way it's almost not unfair, but harsh to judge too early. The patterns of play that Havertz, that Werner, that Ziyech now in the team that they will need, that will take time. And right now this league is unforgiving because there isn't that much time. The schedule is hectic. So that time on the training ground is limited. And I don't think Frank's doing a bad job at all. I think the defensive solidity now being there is huge. That'll give them confidence from the back. I think you saw that in the Manchester United game. I actually tweeted that despite the fact that that game sent a few people to sleep, I actually thought Chelsea were quite good in the first half. There was a couple of times Havertz could have played Werner in and just overhit the pass. But if he would have played him in, Werner being as clinical as he is, the odds are he scores and you probably go away and win that game then. And the whole perception of what Frank's doing is very different. So I don't think it's been a bad start to the season at all. I think it just needs time. It needs time to gel, and I hope it doesn't all come together at the weekend. But
I really like Ziyech in the team. I think he adds a lot of creative balance to those Werner runs, those penetrative runs. I don't think you were finding his runs earlier in the season. Someone like Ziyech can definitely do that. And then if you can find the right place for Havertz and involve him in the right moments in the game, you should be quite an exciting side.
Yeah, Jay, just moving on from Chelsea's recruitment, what have you made of Sheffield United's, summer transfer window, or I don't know if it's still summer, just post-summer transfer window with the season starting later? Obviously, we're going to talk about Brewster and Ampadu in slightly more detail with it, obviously one being a Chelsea player on loan and one being a former Chelsea youth product or a Chelsea youth product. What have you made of some of the other additions, Ramsdale, for example, Burke, and then, the two young fullbacks, Lowe and Bogle, that you brought in? What do you make of the business that was done in this offseason?
Yeah, so I thought if you were to grade it out of 10, and it's probably a poor exercise to do that because some of these players haven't even played yet. But if you were to grade it out of 10, I thought it was like a 6.5, bordering on a 7. We added squad depth. We had to sign a goalkeeper because we couldn't loan Dean Henderson again. We signed a goalkeeper that the club know very well. He has some technical flaws, but he's also made some great saves already. He's 22 and in England under 21 international. So, I don't see a problem with that. We signed some cover wing-backs, which is good because our wing-backs played every single... Well, certainly Baldock played every single minute last season. The right wing-back and Stevens wasn't far off. So they can't live with that intensity in this truncated schedule. We've already seen that injuries have hit us like never before. So we've needed that depth and that was good depth. I actually expect Bogle to start at the weekend against Chelsea. It's been George Bulldock all this season, but I think we've reached a point now where the delivery was quite poor at the weekend, and I think Bogle adds an attacking threat, so I expect Bogle to play against Chelsea. I think that the rest of the biggest additions were obviously the Brewster one up front. Oliver Burke adds an awful lot of pace. There is a lot of decision-making issues with Burke, but he's actually been very good, to be fair. We play him as a striker, not as a winger, as one of the front two. And he is, he's 6'2", and he is one of the fastest players in the league, I would wager. He can be a nightmare. He turned Liverpool inside out on a short cameo a couple of times. And if he plays or if he has a cameo, then he can definitely threaten him behind or with his ball carrying. So he's been quite a good addition. It doesn't seem like the recruitment's been good because of the results, but I actually think it's been okay. I think we'll be okay as well. But yeah, definitely Bruce, the main one who we'll talk about in a minute, and Ampadu as well, who I've been quite impressed with so far.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned Ampadu. Obviously, it's a useful talent for Wilder to have. But how do you strike the balance, do you think, this season between appeasing Chelsea's hopes and the development that they expect from such a player? Because last season at Leipzig, I called it from the start. I thought it was a terrible loan move because the quality was just, it was too high a jump for him. And I just expected him to be used sparingly. And given what they were playing for, I thought that it wasn't a nice fit. So how do you expect that to change perhaps at Sheffield United? Obviously, with the form so far, it's been a bit of a shock to the system perhaps. But he's an interesting player because at the top level, I'm not too sure, especially in the Premier League, perhaps abroad, it will be different, and he is better suited to leagues like the Bundesliga. But is he too short to play at the back? And have you seen him in the midfield as well, in terms of screening the back three or the back five, as it will?
Yeah, it's really interesting. Obviously, the main interesting point, I guess, about Ethan is how versatile he really is, and whether that's going to become an issue or whether that's a positive for him. Does he have a direct position, and will that stunt him later in life, or is it actually a good thing? He's played more minutes than I thought he would already. So I think it's 304 minutes so far, which is the 10th most in our squad. We have an exceptionally set team when everyone is fit. Like, that was our thing last season, consistency of selection. We could pick the same 11 almost week in, week out, maybe change a striker, swap striker out. But predominantly the back three, five and the midfield three were the same people. Injuries haven't allowed that. So Ethan's filled in a couple of different roles. He played centre-back versus Leeds. We lost 1-0, but we pretty much, I wouldn't say dominated, but we were definitely on top for the first half, both from my eyes and statistically. And Ampadu was really good. The height was an issue a couple of times in the box. There was a couple of headers he missed when he should have cleared them. But he was fantastically composed in possession, playing out from the back, dribbling out from the back as well, which our system does allow.
And he was really, really good in that game. He played the central one in a back three because our main centre-back was suspended. And he was fantastic. We've seen him play defensive midfield as well against Liverpool. And I thought he was brilliant against Liverpool at Anfield. And I think a lot of Sheffield United fans were really, really impressed by that performance from him. Big, strong, won the ball, very aggressive in the challenge, very mobile. I actually said after the game, it was... I don't like doing comparisons. It's not something that a scout or a technical analyst should do, but it was very Declan Rice-like, that performance. Winning the ball all over the pitch, high up, winning it in front of the back four, playing very simple passes, but forward passes, punching them through lines. He looked like a proper player. And I think that actually he started the game against Manchester City in the same position as our holder, if you will, our number six, which is normally Oliver Norwood. And I actually think it's Ampadu's place to lose. Obviously, he won't play at the weekend, which is a shame, because that will see someone else come in. And if that someone else plays well or we get a result, the likelihood is Ethan will be back out of the team. But I actually said when we signed him, I thought that he would battle for the defensive midfield spot, because I think that's where his position is right now. And if he adds that little bit of passing range at times in the middle, he's good at passing out from the back when the space and time is there. But under pressure sometimes this year, his passing range has just been a bit off. So if he can add that little element of composed, progressive passing, I think he's a very, very highly talented defensive midfielder.
Yeah, it's an interesting one that you bring up Declan Rice, because, of course, Chelsea's interest in him is very well publicised. And there is sort of a section of the fan base that thinks if Ethan Ampadu was given a chance, he could save the club a lot of money and actually play that position. Also, of course, a big pity that Ampadu can't play against Chelsea this weekend based on the loan rules. I just wanted to ask you about Brewster. Obviously, coming in as your record signing, not a great deal of Premier League experience, but did very well at Swansea, playing in a front two, and obviously he does that with Sheffield United, or he will do that with Sheffield United this season. Also, Swansea ending the season with a 3-5-2, and similar to what you guys do. Do you see him starting this weekend? And with his start of play, do you think he can score goals regularly without possibly, you mentioned, not having a great deal of service from central areas and mostly from cutbacks and crosses when the team's playing well? Do you think he can actually deliver the goals to keep you well safe of relegation zone?
That is literally a £25 million question. I think he can. Whether he will or not will depend on how we create for him. Right now, we don't create the type of chances or have the patterns of play to create the ball in the box that he will thrive on. As I said, if you're putting lofted crosses into the box, Rian Brewster is not the man for you. Even Ollie McBurney, who's very good in the air, isn't really the man for that, because it's often against set defensive lines where there's a crowded penalty area. So winning the ball and finishing it is a very hard task. I think that at our best, we can create good opportunities from wide, low crosses, cutbacks. We can create balls round the corners of centre-backs, which Rian does thrive on. So I think he can, yes. Will he start the weekend? I probably expect him to, because we've paid a lot of money for them. So I think, yes, we will probably start him at the weekend. But yeah, I would actually prefer that we didn't, because I think we need to play a transitional game. I would probably prefer that we played Oliver Burke and Oliver McBurney. So we have an aerial threat and we have pace in behind to basically sit in. Deep block, unfortunately. And be a bit of a defensive team and plug those gaps where those creative players you have go into, and we'll try and create and transitionally.
Yeah, that's brilliant, Jay. I think it's a fascinating game, and really intrigued to see whether Wilder can strike that balance between sort of massaging an ego as such, because obviously he's had Bruce is going to have massive expectations, knowing that he did have his pick of clubs, and I think he needs to be shown some faith, obviously, even Wilder, but right now the circumstances maybe aren't quite ideal for him to showcase his true talents. But yeah, thanks so much for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure to hear your views and your insights into both the game and also Sheffield United's situation. So we're looking forward to the game unfolding and hopefully getting your views maybe later in the season, and perhaps Wilder turning this round and consolidating the high level of respect that he's garnered around the league. So, thanks so much for jumping on, Jay.
Let's hope. Thanks for that, guys.